Certainly in your house. But anyway, this is The Naked Scientist, and we are talking this week about the science of venoms, poisons and toxins. And Jim Olson and his team are from the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Centre over in Seattle, and they found a way to use scorpion venom to make a paint, which makes it easier for us to see cancer cells. And this means that surgeons can be more certain that they're taking out the entire tumour, and that can limit the damage to healthy tissue. Jim's on the line with us now. Hello, Jim.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you for joining us. Tell us about your technique, how does it work?
We took a peptide which comes from a scorpion venom, which is called chlorotoxin, and we linked it to a molecule called Psi-5.5, which is a little molecular beacon. It lights up. Now, the scorpion toxin binds to cancer cells, but not to normal cells, and so our idea was that we would inject this into the veins of a mouse that has cancer and see whether or not the chlorotoxin could carry the molecular beacon to the cancer cells and make them glow. And indeed, when we inject mice that have tumors and wait about a day or two, we can put the mice under a camera that picks up near-infrared light, which is emitted from the molecular beacon, and it's really easy to see the tumor compared to the normal brain around it.
So you can see the tumor even inside a person, or you know, even inside a mouse?
The light waves that are emitted by this new molecule that we made have a very short path length. So this was developed primarily to help surgeons who want to be able to see whether they got all the cancer while they're doing their operation. So the point is that the whole tumor, when they open up the cavity, will be glowing, and then as they take more and more of it out, the pieces that are still glowing are where the cancer is still left behind.
And how sensitive is this technique? Because part of the problem with cancer is it only needs a very few cells to start the cancer growing again.
Well, that was one of the big surprises of our study. We initially started working on this for brain cancer, and then when we tested it in other models of cancer, such as prostate cancer and colon cancer, we found that it was sensitive for picking up these kind of cancers as well. And in one case, we had an instance where it picked up a nodule of cancer as small as 200 cells, and that's about 5,000 times more sensitive than an MRI.
And so that's really tiny. Tell us a bit more about this toxin, this chlorotoxin. How does it recognize cancer cells and not healthy cells?
We believe that it's binding to a component of the matrix metalloproteinase 2 complex. And in easy-to-understand terms, the matrix metalloproteinase 2 complex is what cancer cells use to eat away normal tissue to make space so that the cancer can grow. And so for that reason, this complex is expressed on cancer cells, but not on normal tissue.
And do you think that this kind of paint might have some effect, might possibly be useful for spotting cancers that have spread throughout the body? Or is it just the wavelength isn't long enough to get out the body again?
Well, in some cases, yes. For example, if a person has breast or prostate or testicular cancer and the surgeons have the cavity open and they're interested in seeing whether lymph nodes are involved, the wavelength is long enough that they would be able to see whether the lymph nodes are involved. You really couldn't do that in a scan and be able to see things that deep in the body. We're really talking about superficial cancers or cancers that are surgically open.
So what's the next step for this? Are you going to start testing it in patients soon?
Yeah, there are two directions that we're going. One is to test it in patients, and we're working with a company in Cambridge, Massachusetts to advance this as quickly as possible to human clinical trials. Because this company has already brought chlorotoxin into humans, there's a lot of safety data already available, and we think that we could be in clinical trials within 18 to 24 months. The other direction that we're going with this is to see whether it could be used as a cancer screening method. So, for example, people who are at risk for skin cancer, would they be able to take a dose of this tracer and then just go into their dermatologist and have a scan to see which moles or which areas of their skin should be biopsied? And so we're thinking about that for the more superficial cancers, like skin cancer or colon cancer or esophageal cancer.
And Jim, just to finish off, are you confident that this scorpion venom-based marker will bind to all kinds of cancer cells? Because one of the things we've learned about cancers is, of course, they're a very heterogeneous cell population. There are stem cells in there, there are mature cancer cells. Will it bind to everything, or are we going to miss some cells?
Well, so far we've tested it in six different kinds of cancer, and it has lit up all of those tumors. Within an individual cancer, it looks as though in some types of cancer it's lighting up almost every cell, and in other types of cancer there are some cells that are lighting up and some cells that are not. But they're so intermixed that for at the level of precision of surgery, the ones that are not lighting up are just entangled with the ones that are lighting up, so you'd be able to take that whole group of cells.
Thank you. That's a very interesting piece of research, and thank you for joining us and telling us about it, Jim.
My pleasure.
Jim Olson from the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. He's in Seattle in the US, and he's using scorpion venom to highlight tumors so you can minimize the damage that you do when you do surgery to remove brain tumors. It is The Naked Scientist with Dr. Chris and Dr. Kat. Coming up shortly, we'll be journeying to the Great Barrier Reef in Australia to find out how a marine shellfish is giving us a painkiller 10,000 times more powerful than morphine, and also joining Gavin Lang from the University of Liverpool to find out how snakes make their venoms and how we can make anti-venom for the poor people who get bitten.